Hey, it's Carrie from Wrap Your Head Around Silks. This is the Expecting Ariel's podcast, now with the Digitet Network. How's it going, everyone? Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we get started, lots of stuff happening at Wrap Your Head Around Silks. I've got Roll It Out, the 60-minute virtual Zoom foam rolling class that I do on Monday and Thursday evenings. Have a nice little group going on Zoom there, and we roll out all the aerial muscles. It's a good way to carve out the time for your recovery process. It certainly saves my body, so I'd love to have you there. There's a link for that. I also have a rehab course, a beginner to intermediate silks course, a free course, and then also, you know, some teacher training for silks. All right, guys. Today, we have Sochi Sosa. She's the owner of Cirque Vita, an Austin-based circus company that she has begun herself. She's a former Cirque du Soleil performer. She did the cruise lines, and she's currently 3 months postpartum with her second child. So we debrief on her experience of having her two kids, what her fourth trimester is like right now, and what she's trying to create there in Austin, Texas. All right, my friends, let's get started. Yeah, I've never seen the Sochi spelled like that, because Sochi is also a Japanese name.
Yeah, there is a Japanese name. And I think that it's also like where they had the Olympics.
Yes.
In Russia, Sochi. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
My name's Mexican, so it comes from a Nahuatl background is the language it comes from.
Okay, I love it. Sochi, if you would just introduce yourself a little bit about your aerial practice, your career, a little bit about your family, where you live, and then I'll just jump in.
Cool. Yeah, my name is Sochi Sosa, and I live in Austin, Texas right now. I worked as a professional aerialist, primarily on dance trapeze, and then I studied duo trapeze as a base for many years. And I'm currently director and founder of Cirque Vita, which is a brand new contemporary circus company here in Austin. And that's been going on for about a year. So that's been my kind of new other baby.
Okay, I want to get into that, but which Cirque show did you do?
I was on the cruise ship, one of the cruise ships. We did the creation for Varelia and Sima, which was with MSC Cruise Lines, which I think they no longer do the cruise ship contracts. I think after they went bankrupt, Cirque kind of went away from the cruise lines.
I mean, did you love doing a cruise?
I hated doing a cruise.
Oh, really?
It was not for my personality. I like really enjoyed nature and like having autonomy. And
yeah, okay.
Being on the cruise ship was not like that. We also, the contract with Cirque was not... What I have learned was not a good cruise ship contract, because we were considered we were considered crew.
Right. So you didn't have windows or anything?
No, we didn't have windows. You were with another person in the room, in a crew room, which was like super tiny. You had to like follow all the rules of the crew.
Right. You couldn't be around the guests.
You couldn't
hang out at the pool.
Sit down in guest areas. There was like all these weird rules.
Yeah, they're hiding you.
Yeah.
I've only done the best of cruise contracts, which are like a week.
That's what,
like, you go on, you don't have to be part of the crew. You're like, you're treated like a guest. You eat with the guests, you are dining with the guests, and then you do your show at night.
Yeah.
Those are like My best story of a cruise is that we were hired to do a burlesque show, like I was just dancing, on a swingers cruise.
Uh-huh. Those are big concerts.
And they were, there was just like open orgies happening in different banquet halls.
That would have been interesting, yeah.
I opted out to go watch. My friends were like, let's go watch. And I was like, I don't think my brain is going to unsee that after. Like, I don't think that's possible. Anyways. That's my cruise story. So, and how long did you do that? One contract?
So that was an 8-month contract, because we were in France doing creation, and then we were on the ship for like 7 7 months. Oh, I think
Okay.
8 months. And then we had a month before that of creation. So it was very long. I think if I had had a shorter experience on the cruise, I would have felt very differently.
Yeah, okay. I love it. Okay. And you're in Austin. What brings you to Austin, or are you from there?
I lived here in my early 20s. So kind of before I decided to really take on circus as a career. And I just fell in love with the place. And then I went up to NECA and did their ProTrack program, and then spent a bunch of years kind of between Oakland, the Bay Area, which is where I'm from, and Montreal. So I was training in Montreal, coming back to Oakland and working. And then I got on the cruise ship contract, did the cruise ship contract, got injured, and this was in 2019.
Oh, recently.
Yeah, this is recent.
Oh.
So 2019, after the injury, just kind of decided that I wanted to go back to Austin. Because Austin, unfortunately, it's getting a little better, but was not the place to like make a career. There wasn't that much work here.
Okay.
So that's why I left in the first place.
Okay. So this was recently. And what is the community like there now?
I still think it's pretty similar. there's a couple good studios, but there's not any really professional like work here. There's some gigs.
You have to create it yourself.
Yeah. So that's what I've been trying to do. Rita's create kind of some ongoing work that's both artistically fulfilling and also like on a high level.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we've been trying to do here. So
okay. So yeah. So you started your company and that was the motivation.
That was definitely the motivation. I also wanted to find a place where I mean, after having kids and even before that, like I wanted to make Austin my home.
Yeah.
And still be involved in the circus community. At that point, I wasn't sure. This was like 20, right before the pandemic. I wasn't sure if I was going to perform again because I had had an injury on the circ contract. So I wanted to find a way to like still be involved in the circus community without actually using my body.
Yeah.
So directing was always something I'd wanted to do. And then the pandemic happened and it kind of created some opportunity for exploring that more.
Okay. So if you start a company, that means you also have a bunch of aerialists and acrobats and stuff there, or are you training them yourself?
There's a little bit of both. So there are people that come through Austin or who are from Austin who are super talented. But then they end up going elsewhere to work. So okay. I'm trying to take those people and kind of keep them here. Some work here. And then some people were just training. There's a lot of like, we're working with some parkour artists. And there's a big like acro scene here, but not really professional. I would say Austin is like this city where like play and hobbies, like there's a lot of people have athletic hobbies, but it often doesn't turn into like performance or yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you really have to create it yourself. And I think it is up to people like you to, I can imagine hobbyists and people aspiring to do it, but who live in Austin are looking to people like you to create those opportunities.
I definitely wish that there had been more opportunities when I was more of an emerging artist here in Austin.
Yeah. And how old are you now?
I am 34.
Okay. I can also cut that out if you don't want the world to know. That's fine. But it's helpful for our women though. I'm turning 47 in May.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually like in the last like 2 years, I've decided that I don't really care to perform that much anymore. I had a huge injury 10 years ago, you know, completely shattered my leg and my ankle and recovered from that. And then worked worked and worked and worked. And mostly I wanted to work just to know that I got back to it. Uh-huh. And then now I'm just like, you know, I'm a mom, we have other priorities, and I love coaching, and I love, choreographing. So I'm kind of there. It took me 10 more years to get there though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of, I mean, I recently started, I think when I was pregnant with him, I realized that I did really want to perform again. So I've been kind of on that route again.
Okay. Yeah. I for sure feel like there are seasons, like, and nowadays, I think 5 years from now, I could decide I want to put my toe back in, you know, it's like, why not?
Yeah. It's hard to get something that you love. Like I love Ariel and I love being in the air, and I never want to totally give that up.
Yeah. And I think also for me, like I have this, there's this straps artist, male straps artist that goes to our loft open gym all the time. And he's in the middle of architecture school. And I was like, hey, when you're done with that and Bean is done with being a toddler, let's be partners.
Yeah.
And you're like, we're just getting older, but I don't care. Like I could, he's a Chinese guy. I was like, hey, we could totally market the shit out of that.
Yeah, there you go.
Just be like 50 years old and starting a partnership. But yeah, who knows? Okay, Sochi, do you teach there in Austin?
Yeah, well? I have been. So I technically live like 45 minutes from Austin. Okay. I'm out in the country. So I teach minimally here. I teach straps. And then my 3-month-old, I just haven't figured out how to make that work yet. So we'll see.
So I know Texas a little bit. 45 minutes in what direction? Towards where?
I'm east. So I'm...
You're east.
Yeah, I'm like way... We're pretty like way out in the country.
So how are you feeling today? How are you feeling 3 months out?
I'm feeling awesome, actually. I'm so thankful. Like Silas is a super easy baby. I think the one thing that I figured out real quick is that I just don't get downtime because I have a 2.5-year-old who's demanding, and then I have him. But he sleeps well. He'll hang out at the studio while I'm training. So I feel like I'm really, really lucky with that.
So I would imagine, well, unless you have a fussy or colicky second baby, which would be really difficult. I found besides that she didn't like sleeping so difficult with my fourth trimester is that I wasn't, the idea of being a mom wasn't fully ingrained yet. And so I would imagine the second one, you're just doing the things. It's not like an identity shift.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm already kind of set up as a mom, and me and my partner have established our relationship in that. And then I think also with my first one with Itzel, my daughter, I was more anxious, you know, usually like, you don't know if this noise is them dying or like, I don't know. So there's just like so much more things that I paid attention to and worried about and, you know, stressed myself out a little bit more. And each step was like totally brand new. And with him, it's like, oh, he's doing that, which my daughter already went through. So I can like see the stages and know them a little bit more.
I mean, I think I say this almost every week. It is such a racket that you never had a kid before, and then they give you the kid, and you're supposed to just know what to do. Like,
yeah. They give you like some instructions, and you're like, "What? That's it?" Yeah.
Well, and even my partner, I think I don't think he had a choice because he had to go back to work. But I was like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, right? You just leave it. Like everybody's just leaving me here with this human. I'm just completely clueless. And did you, how's your body feel today? How's your body feel right now?
Good. So I actually, I'm going to be performing at Viva Fest with a duo, in a week. So that like happened really fast. My friend had an act that's like this rope hair hanging act. And she had done it, with this other artist and he wasn't able to do it. So she asked me like a couple weeks ago if I wanted to come out to Vegas and fill in for him. And for some reason I said yes.
So you're basing.
So, huh?
You're basing.
I will be basing. Yeah. Yeah. And that.
And that is when? April?
That is March. We'll be performing on March 15th. So that's like in,
so like in 10 days.
10 days, yeah. So last week was me learning it, basing, figuring out my body again. And then this week I'm going to try and just condition. So.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You're basing on a trapeze. So that means it's more upper body work than abs.
I'll be basing on a rope. So I'm like in an S-wrap on a rope. And what it is it's a rope with hardware on each side.
Okay.
So it'll be connected to the ceiling. And then the other end of the rope is connected to her hair. So she'll be hair hanging.
I was trying to figure that what? Like,
yeah, it's an innovative act. So it's not, I'm not doing that much crazy stuff. I'm just climbing up, basing her through a couple moves, doing some shapes. And she's pretty small, but it's been more challenging than, I mean, I base.
Are you getting, like, do you do a rope base a lot, or is this not very often?
I work with Acrobatic Conundrum in Seattle, which was like Terry Crane. And he's all like primarily rope. So we did a lot of rope in all the shows.
Okay. I'm such a wimp when it comes to things like chains and straps and rope. So like, I know that an S-wrap with weight on it, even on a silk, it would basically like squeeze your intestines.
Yeah. So that's, I think coming back, like it's just painful. Like, I feel like I'm okay. I'm not that far off. Like, I did condition, you know, far into my pregnancy. But like just the pain of it all, I'm not used to. Especially because I haven't like really based since like 2019, since I was on the cruise ship contract. So it's just been my body getting back used to that. And a little bit, I feel like my pelvic bones are still, they were pretty loose. So they're starting
okay.
Like, I can feel that they're like maybe a little unhappy, but like also just trying to figure out like what's going on.
All of us are different, but I still have trouble creating an abdominal wall as strong as before pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the case for you or no?
I do. Yeah, I still feel like my abs are not what they were by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even talking about just like the six pack abs, but like the trans versus abdominal, like the wrapping around.
Yeah.
Like that's where I feel like, you know, Bean says to me all the time, like when I'm at rest, she's like, "Your belly's so squishy, mama." I was like, "Ah, you're breaking my heart." I mean, it's not that squishy.
Yeah, it's not the same.
But it's not the same. So like I'm thinking of myself basing, like I wouldn't be doing it because I don't do that. But on a rope, on an S-wrap, I just, wow.
I think I did get my transfers back to like almost, not normal, but like definitely usable after the first pregnancy. And I do feel like they're still pretty squishy right now. But as far as like basing, it hasn't really complicated that too much. Like,
okay. And you have a high tolerance for pain, obviously.
I have a pretty high tolerance for pain. Yeah.
Like you have to.
Yeah.
You have to if you're doing any double stuff and you're the base, because it's like you're not just in the S-wrap. Like I have students who are, you know, I'm teaching silks one and two. They're like, you know, just doing one rotation in a frog position with their legs in a wheel down. They're like, "I can't breathe." I'm like, "You don't even know the half of it." Yeah.
I feel like being a base has been very masochistic.
Totally.
On trapeze, like just spending hours in catchers was
Yeah. Yeah, our in Catchers, and then you've got a 130-pound human below you doing stuff that creates more force. Yeah. But okay, so let's go back. How was this pregnancy for you?
This pregnancy was pretty, I mean, I had the normal stuff first trimester. I had some morning sickness, or I guess just, it wasn't even the morning, just sickness, some nausea. And then the second trimester was pretty easy. I was doing my first big theatrical show with Cirque Vita at like 5 months or 6 months pregnant. So that was a lot of work. and yeah, so I feel like I had a pretty easy pregnancy, which I'm thankful for. I think, but also like having a 2.5-year-old pregnant is not fun. I don't think that was like the hardest thing, was just having her at that age where I'm like having to run around, run after her, kind of like meet her energy and not being physically able to.
I mean, I can't even imagine, like, there are some days even now, and it's easier now that she's 4, but like, you're just like, oh my God, I just want to take a nap and I'm not pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. You just want to take a nap and there's no way.
And there's no way, because she's up here, you know. When, you know, in pregnancy, I mean, if you think about your first pregnancy, like, I mean, isn't the idea, it's just the idea of it, it's so luxurious. Like, you're tired, so you sleep.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, so you're pregnant, you got a 2.5-year-old. How was the actual labor?
Yeah, so the labor was very fast. And I had heard that from other people. They're like, your second labor, sometimes like people are rushing to get to the hospital. And I was literally shopping at the grocery store and on my way to pick up my daughter. And I went into like full active labor. And I had been having contractions daily that like would come and then go away. At this point, like I just was like, ignore them. Unless they really like start to get closer together. And then that day I had no contractions. I was at the grocery store just walking around and all of a sudden, like I had a contraction and felt something like pop almost. And then after that, I like went into active labor. So I was like paying for groceries, like barely able to talk. And then I had to get my father-in-law who worked down the street, my father-in-law to drive me to pick up our daughter and then drive me to the birthing center where my partner met us. And then 20 minutes later,
20 minutes?
20 minutes later.
No way.
2 pushes, he popped out. And I was...
Your pelvic floor was blossoming open.
Yeah. And I was in my bed... And my mom's belly like this.
Is that how you came out?
Yeah, that's how you came out. Hey, are you gonna let me do this? Because you just said okay, you're gonna let me do this.
I thought you were a professional podcaster.
And the first one, was it smooth going, or did you have any traumatic stuff?
Well, the first one we were supposed to have a home birth. So both pregnancies, I had a midwife. And the first one, yeah, we were supposed to have a home birth. And 2 weeks early, my water broke and it had a meconium in it. And my midwife was out of town, which we kind of knew, like she had like talked to us about it, but she's like, you're definitely going to be late because it's your first pregnancy. And that was just not the case. So she came early. There was meconium in my water when it broke. So I got transferred to the second midwife, who was our backup midwife. And then she had 4 births that week. So she transferred us to the third backup midwife.
Oh, Lordy.
Who kind of didn't really want to deal with us, I felt. And so we went to see her and we were waiting for my labor to progress. Because since my water had broke, I think it has to progress within 24 hours or else you are at risk for infection. So my labor wasn't progressing, and by 8 p.m., they said I should just go into the hospital and check myself in so they can give me Pitocin. And I labored there. They were giving me Pitocin, and I labored until about 7 a.m., and the nurse came in and realized that my Pitocin wasn't hooked up. So it had just been, the IV wasn't hooked up to me. So the Pitocin had just been going on the ground. And so at that point, they gave me like the lowest amount of Pitocin. And then I gave birth at 1 p.m. So because of that. Yeah, that long after. But I
mean, and no epidural?
No epidural. Nope. Natural.
Okay. No. So you're in this camp. People have told me it's like a ring of fire. Would you resonate with that?
I mean, the contractions, like I have a very, very high pain tolerance. And the contractions were towards the end, like unbearable. Like, and I was just like in my own little world. I feel like just trying to breathe through things. I had done a lot of hypnobirthing courses, and I feel like that helped a lot. So that taught me to breathe through contractions.
The contractions to you were worse than passing through your vaginal canal then?
Well, okay. So I luckily didn't have that much time in like the pushing stage. So I think I remember just like the longer period of contractions as opposed to the shorter period of pushing. But yeah, I mean, when the actual moment that she came out was so painful.
Like fire.
Sure, like fire. Like, I mean, I did absolutely scream. Like, it was so hard. Yeah, and then even afterwards, I was like, I cannot imagine somebody going through labor who has no physical awareness.
Yeah, training.
That was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I used to train like 10 hours a day. But yeah. And then, I mean, I had like very minimal tearing. I was thankful for that. But yeah, definitely very difficult, very difficult.
And then the second, way different.
It just was so fast. Yeah. I mean, everything was 4 hours. So from the time I started contractions to when he was born was 4 hours. And we were at a birthing center, which I feel like was just a much pleasanter experience. So it was like in a house at the birth. They didn't even have time to get the water going. And then he was born at 6:15. And then by 8 p.m. we were discharged. We just went home.
Ooh, that is fast.
Super, yeah. They're like, you only need to stay 2 hours after the birth to make sure everything is going good. And he was breastfeeding right away. And yeah.
Okay. And tell me about your training prenatal.
With Itzel, with my first one, I think I was running like into my second trimester. I feel like I was doing a little bit too much. I think I overstretched once, and I did have some, what's it called when your pelvis moved?
Pubis symphysis.
Yeah, I had some pubis symphysis. And I had a lot of lower back and hip pain in general, which I feel like my body, that just like kind of the weaker part, because I studied contortion for a while, and yeah, that's just not my strongest area. So that gave me a lot of issues in my first pregnancy. And then in this last pregnancy, I was much more mellower just because I was exhausted from having a 2-year-old. So I was like, I'm not going to push it. I don't need to do extra work or extra cardio. But I was teaching into my 7th month, and I was teaching chair yoga at a community center near me, like in the country. So it was a lot of older ladies. And that actually was like felt great on my body. Like,
okay, why have I never heard of chair yoga?
It's just using a chair as a prop.
Oh.
So it's it's a lot of older women who like, you know, can't use their wrists in like a downward dog or can't get down all the way. So I was doing like a mix of kind of Pilates and chair yoga. And then I'm also certified in functional range conditioning. Which is like, I feel like it's like PT mixed with training almost. That's kind of what helped me get out of my injury. So putting stuff from that realm, into it. And that just felt like awesome on my body. And I feel like kept me really strong and my joints healthy.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Okay,
I don't
so
like it when I talk in this.
Let's wrap by talking about your company again. So, how many artists do you have training and you know, doing these numbers and?
Yeah. So I started. We have one show that's called Ventanas, and it's a pretty highly acrobatic show. So a lot of the people I cast are really strong floor artists and acrobats, as well as having their solo discipline. And that's just a cast of six that I've been working with since May 2022. So I did a creation workshop in May 2022 and kind of cast people. And I've been working with those artists since then. And then in August of last year, we had our first theatrical show, and that went really well. It's been really hard to figure out how to get funding. We haven't gotten a grant yet, so it's all just kind of fundraising, and we've done some smaller shows that have helped pay for it. But yeah, that's been like what I've primarily been doing, is trying to figure out how to get the money to actually put on the show. And then we're going to be doing Ventanas again, like Ventanas 2.0, with some new artists. And that's going to be in November of this year.
Are you just grabbing a venue and doing like a pop-up?
Yeah. Yeah. So the first show, so I will say one thing about Austin is there's very few venue options, just because it's not a really high city. So a lot of the theaters in town can't accommodate Ariel, unless it's like, you know, the huge venues, and those are just, you know, too big. So there's not much theater options. So we ended up using kind of an alternative warehouse space for our first show, which was really cool in some ways, but it was really difficult because we had to bring everything in. And because of the ceiling, we weren't able to like light it as nicely as I would have liked. And there was just some issues with it. And then we're applying for this Arts Access grant for the city of Austin, which will give us a free theater space.
Oh, that would be amazing.
So we'll see. Yeah. Because that's been kind of the hardest. Venues are just expensive.
Yeah. And is that kind of like the dream of it? Like, what's the like in the pie in the sky?
Oh, my dream of dreams is to have a dinner show.
Ah, okay.
Where we do kind of, I don't know if it would be ongoing or seasonal, but we pair up with a restaurant. And have an ongoing show.
You know, my friend Sarah Mann, she did the podcast like a month or two ago, and she is doing exactly that here in LA.
I listened to that podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting, right?
Yeah, super interesting. I know that's like more people are doing it in the US, which is awesome. Like in Europe, I feel like that's established. It's been.
Yes.
And so there's more interest for it here, because really the only like big dinner show I can think of is Zanzani, who has struggled a lot and has, you know, they got kicked out of their Seattle space. the San Francisco space ended up not working. So they, you know, I think it's been a hard journey for them. And it's just hard in the US. You know, you have, I think, more insurance, more, a lot more overhead than Europe.
Yeah. Do you know the Duotrap couple, Cassie and Oliver?
Yeah, I know Cassie. And I know Oliver's from Seattle.
Yeah, Cassie's a good friend of mine. How do you know Cassie? Just from the
festival industry. In Mexico together in 2017. I think, yeah, 2017. And then she's just popped up. She was at a Cirque audition I was at.
That's lovely. She, I'm probably like 15 years older than her, and she would be in the gym, like, as a teenager.
Yeah, she's from OK and did the one program there, the kids troupe. Right?
Oh, Le Petit?
Yeah.
Cirque. Yeah. She worked with those kids. When she was a teenager, she'd just be in the gym when I was teaching class or training, and she'd be like, what if I try this? I won't die probably, right? I was like, you and I are different aerialists.
I saw her, that bungee.
Yeah.
That she did, yeah.
I think she calls it Ursula. I love Cassie. She actually did the podcast the very first year, and she talked about losing her finger.
Oh, I never knew what happened with that, because I met her before she had lost her finger, and then just...
Yeah. Well, she basically was hiking up one of those trees in Hawaii that has all those roots.
Her finger come off.
Yeah, her finger came off. It's weird. It's crazy. Your finger's not going to come off for no reason. Don't worry.
It's hard to...
Why did her finger come off?
I know.
Good story.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think a dinner show in Austin, I've never been to Austin, by the way, but the thought of a dinner show in Austin would be fantastic.
I think, well, there's like, Austin's a really growing city, and there's a lot of conventions here. Like, it already has so much tourism, and there's not much. So there's a lot of music, right? It's a music city. So there's always that option, but there's not like an alternative to that. So it's like nightlife and music, or nothing at night. Like, that's the only option. So yeah, I think a show like that would be great. I think there's a lot of artists starting to move here. And there's like space for that still in the city. It's like, so I'm from the Bay Area, and I feel like in the Bay Area to do something like that is almost like inconceivable. It would be very, very difficult just because it's so expensive. But I feel like Austin's still the space and venues where it's like doable and affordable to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, in a way it's challenging on one hand because that infrastructure is not there. The artists aren't necessarily there. You have to do it yourself, but then it's kind of ripe for it, you know, because there's going to be people interested in coming. It's not crazy expensive to get a venue. So I'm excited for you. And I'm also grateful that you took out time in this busy time of your life to come on the podcast. I think it's great.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I've been listening to it, and it's just nice to sort of connect with other aerialists going through the same kind of situation.
Sochi, thank you so much for carving out the time. It is a busy, busy time in your life, and we appreciate it so much. And thanks for sharing your story. I think it's really important to get, you know, all of us aero mamas, our stories kind of like down so that we can share them over years and years and years. I think it's really important. So, all right, listeners, check out the show notes for my website. Tons of stuff there. Roll it out. Aero Rehab, a main course, and then teacher training. Would love to work with you guys at some point in the future if I haven't yet. And if you would please honor me with a 5-star rating and review, it means so much. It helps the podcast along so much. If you'd like to hear the sound of my voice even more, Greener Grass with Kelly McVeigh, my co-host. Every week we interview, every other week we actually just girl gab, and then we interview the most amazing people doing incredible things. So yeah, check it out. All right, my friends, over and out. That's it for us this week. We'll see you guys next time. This is the Expecting Aerials.